Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by Emily Arden Wells and Jen Pelka, the co-founders behind the amazing blog Gastronomista. And Jen has also moved on to become the food and drink evangelist at Tumblr Food and Drink. Girls, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us. Excited to be here.
And thanks for the dancing to the intro. It's pretty great.
It really is the best theme song ever.
Well, so yeah, today is a very special show. It's the first hour-long You Look Hungry episode. It is going to be called Holidays on Ice. And we're going to get into all kinds of holiday tricks, you know, snafus, ways to entertain, you know, what you should create to make the family happy, etc. So without further ado, let's get into it. But before we do, Emily, tell us a little bit about your background, and Jen, tell us a little bit about your background as to how you guys started Gastronomista and what you guys are doing when you're not in the kitchen.
So we started the site in 2009, and it was right at the height of the recession. And so, you know, I'm an architect, so finding a job was took a while. The market was not exactly right for new positions. So we basically had some time. We had been talking about it for years, actually. I think we bought the URL in 2007.
We read an article in the Times Magazine in one of these like funny pieces where they were defining new words, and Gastronomista was basically one of us.
Yeah.
A chick who entertains.
So Jen bought it, and like we started throwing around ideas, and we started designing it, and then we finally had the time to build it in 2009. And it's been just a fun way to share ideas and discover new things and amazing people and, you know, these really talented artists who are doing really cool things and share some of our, like, crazy, wacky ideas. And, yeah, I'm still doing architecture. I'm working for Avroco, the restaurant and hospitality firm here in New York. And so that's a lot of fun. And Jen is now at Tumblr, and we're...
Yep, so now I'm at Tumblr, and I help restaurateurs and chefs and artisanal producers, cheesemakers, cheesemongers, brewmasters, winemakers, cookbook writers. I help them all to use Tumblr. And of course, if you all want to see You Look Hungry, it is in the food spotlight on Tumblr. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing Tumblr. And Heritage Radio Network also just joined this week, which is really exciting. And they're going to be posting all of their radio shows in a stream that you can follow.
So cool. And speaking of Tumblr, let's get into, I want to know, what is this reblog gift guide on Tumblr? Because it's a pretty amazing concept.
Yeah, so this time of year, everybody wants to know what to buy and also kind of wants to share their own wishes with everyone. And, you know, traditional gift guides are editorially driven, and Gastronomista has a couple really amazing ones, most of which are very booze heavy.
Clearly.
No surprise. Punch bowls for everyone. But what we wanted to do, because there's such a huge network and because the Tumblr community loves sharing their opinions and their thoughts and their greatest ideas, we reached out to all of the Tumblr community and asked them to do to basically send in their recommendations with the hashtag Tumblr Tumblr gift guide, and we have been reblogging them all week long, and it's getting a ton of traction, and it's really exciting to see. And we've seen everything from huge brands to very small artisans. There's obviously a lot of stuff from Etsy. People are making a lot of things in their home that are great to share. but also really huge big brands as well.
Not to put you on the spot, but do you have anything particularly that you would like from the Reblog gift guide that you're kind of eyeing?
Well, Allie and Georgia, who are these two totally rad ladies, who actually Emily first introduced me to because of their crazy cocktail making. Their McNuggetini is kind of famous.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
What?
They're pretty ridiculous. They're like fantastic characters who really embrace the kind of hostess with the mostest 1950s, but a little bit more kitsch.
They like literally will throw a McNugget in a
blender with some booze and like some chocolate ice cream or something random. I mean, but hey, all power to them.
Yeah, they have a totally, totally rad show on the cooking channel now. And they put forward kind of like a DIY choose your own adventure cocktail, which I think is like really great and really adorable. And one of my other favorite DIY things was this beautiful box that somebody put together with just like store-bought really nice ice cream cones and then like containers of different kinds of sprinkles and then a couple different like fudge sauces. And then you can make your own basically like sundae. Just all you have to do is add ice cream. I just thought it was a very cute, cheap, inexpensive, but totally rad ice cream concoction.
How do people, what is the website address to kind of check out the specific?
It's called reblog giftguide.tumblr.com.
Got it.
And you can sort and search by different categories as well.
I just went through it and was like, oh, why didn't I look at this before?
Yeah. One of the coolest things that we saw was a pair of tights that are, that one has like a garter around it and then there's a pistol on the side and then the other one has a machine gun down the other leg. It's very cool.
Kind of did you get a pair of those?
I did. Well, I've asked for them. Maybe Santa will put
they
them
sound
into
very my... work appropriate.
Yeah.
Great for client meetings.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, that's hardcore. I wonder if it like rolls down the whole leg or if it's just on the side.
It's pretty much down the whole leg.
Wow.
It would probably be the whole leg.
It would probably be nice if it was just like really subtly on the thigh. Little, yeah. Like, you know.
After work special.
So, you know, getting into Gastronomista as well, I mean, you've got a huge gift guide going on. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, we started doing the gift guides a couple years ago, and I think the past 2 years they've become more curated, which is really fun to do. I like to pick out some of my favorite things that I've tried throughout the year. I'm a big fan of spirits, so a lot of the things I mentioned are some great bottles and great finds that I've found, and I really like giving bottles as gifts because I live in a 300 square foot apartment and there is not much
but
room
there,
for stuff.
I think 250 square feet are devoted to bottles of booze.
Basically, I have a very nice bar that I've been building over time. So I love giving bottles, and like I found some really amazing things through my adventures over the last year. You know, everything from Absolut to the Brugal 1888, which is a rum that's aged in Macallan barrels, to Santa Teresa rum, to these amazing bourbons that I've been finding, or amazing scotches, like Beaumont is a really beautiful bottle. And, you know, they're great gifts for men and women, and they don't take up a lot of space. And I think that if you pick something that's really unique, then it's you know, it's something that your recipient will remember. And we've been doing lots of other stuff, too, I just did a table gifts guide for kind of small stocking stuffer table gifts tradition. I was going to do one as like a dollar bin one, which I think is kind of a hilarious concept.
You should do that one tomorrow.
I know. Well,
everyone who's listening will be looking for it tomorrow.
But so I went on Amazon and was Googling like $1, and it's amazing how many things will come up on Amazon for just $1. And then I started going into the dollar website and was like, oh my God, this is like Pandora's box gift guide potential here. So look for that.
one of the coolest things I did this week. So I was very lucky to have lunch with the wonderful Ruth Reichel, who I used to work with at Guilt Taste, and we had this great Chinese lunch at this really cool place, Hot Kitchen, in the East Village. Great Sichuan food, and but afterwards we all decided that we were going to go to the Sunrise Market, and so we just like walked around the Sunrise Market, and I was like, Ruth, what would you want in here? if you were giving a gift. And she basically just like helped me pick out like 40 gifts of all of her favorite things. And each one is like $2. So you've got to go to this place, Sunrise Mart. It's
which one did you go to?
It's the one on St. Mark's. Mm-hmm. It's right next to Angel Share.
With the weird elevator.
With the weird elevator.
It's a very slow elevator.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I'm trapped in here. But you get to go up to this like cornucopia of Asian goodness. And, you know, everything.
Did she pick out any Asian vegetables?
She did. She picked out a lot. One of her great recommendations, although they didn't have one, was fresh wasabi and then a shark skin grater. But they were out of graters.
Bollocks.
Mm. What else was she into?
She's really, really, really into soy sauce and like aged weird vintage soy sauces or whatever, but there's some very beautiful bottles that are relatively inexpensive. And then also the coolest thing ever were these blocks of ramen that are in this incredible packaging that has like Japanese calligraphy. And they're very expensive. They're like $7 for a brick of ramen, which, you know, it's not college fare, but but they look, you know, sort of very Japanese in that the packaging itself is almost like a gift. Like you could give just that and it would be really special.
I feel like Kewpie mayonnaise is a great gift.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a stocking stuffer for me. I don't know if you guys use it, but
last year I got creamed honey and that was pretty amazing. Ooh. It was like, it was really, really good. And then when it was gone, I was like, oh, that's so sad.
What were you putting it on?
Everything. Everything that would serve as a vessel for creamed honey. It was great. It was like this really wonderful Colorado local honey.
You guys are both from Colorado, is that right?
No.
No,
I made that up. Just me.
That's Emily.
That's Emily.
Yes, we are on the radio.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, you know, regionally speaking, when you guys go home for the holidays, what are you totally excited about drinking or eating? Like, give me kind of a holiday guide to your hometowns.
Well, so my parents now live in Nashville, which is, of course, like the hot chicken capital of the country. So
hot
I'm
chicken.
Really... Hot chicken. Thomas Keller loves it. And so does everybody else. But so I'm really excited to do some hot chicken. Loveless Cafe is this really amazing regional southern restaurant that's been around forever. And they do the most incredible biscuits with like sorghum, which I feel like sorghum is a big trend right now. I feel like I've read a lot of articles about it. Everything from Southern Living to Ruth had it in her personal gift guide. And I love, we go honky tonkin'. In downtown Nashville.
What exactly what does that mean?
Yeah. Oh, man. It means standing on, like, basically dancing on the bar of these, like, down and dirty.
Not line dancing?
There's some line dancing, but mostly it's, like, drunk girls in short denim skirts and, like a denim shirt that's, like, tied above her belly button and cowboy boots and a lot of makeup. And then you
and
just...
this is your attire when you go home for
no,
Christmas?
No, I don't. But you go to these bars and it's, you know, you can get like really amazing country musicians, whether they're up and coming people or like Willie Nelson will just like show up one night and you don't know who's going to be there. And then it's basically just like you go to bars, you do a little dancing, you stroll down the street, go to the next one and then head home.
It seems like a really emerging city in terms of the food culture that's happening there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to go to this place. Capard Seat? It's called, I think it's called Capard Seat. Or is that the one that's in San Francisco? I don't know. There are a handful of like really special, very forward-thinking, cuisine-driven restaurants, as well as great barbecue on the side of the road.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Tell me about Colorado. What happens during the holidays in Colorado?
Well, there's a lot of skiing, so there are actually a lot of families who come out to celebrate, to make use of the vacation time. So that's kind of interesting that there's like a whole swath of people who normally aren't there who are coming to enjoy the benefits of Colorado. So that's always fun. Colorado's funny as far as cuisine. It doesn't really have kind of a unique and local distinct kind of food. They've reappropriated things from kind of all over the country and probably mostly from New Mexico and Southern California, Tex-Mex type of stuff. But one thing that's really incredible out there is the green chili. There are these green Hatch chilies that are from Hatch, New Mexico, and they basically make this, it's a pork shoulder stew with it. That's just incredible. And in the summertime, in the fall, they roast the green chilies, you know, in front of the supermarket in these huge vats. And so they get very blackened, and there's a process of peeling them and, you know, dicing them and then making them into this amazing stew. And it's generally also served as sauces. So you can get the green chili or the red chili. Most people are most familiar probably with red chili from enchiladas or whatever. But out west, they do, like, Christmas. So you get the green chili and the red chili. And
wait, like, you'll get it on one plate?
Mm-hmm. Unless you get the bowl of chili, which is more of like a stew. But if you order enchiladas, they'll be like, what kind of chili do you want? And you can be like, Christmas, and you get both.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's my holiday special.
That's like at In-N-Out where there's the secret menu.
Yeah.
But instead,
I think
out
it's
west,
actually
it's
on the
Christmas.
Menu. It's
oh, really?
Menu. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But for instance, last year I was down in Santa Fe for Christmas Eve. And we went to this restaurant called Maria's, and we had the most amazing meal of just all this incredible food. The carne adobada was amazing, and there were so many things. So it's a lot of reappropriated Southwestern food. We'll be making pomegranate tamales with it's like creamed walnut sauce that my mom makes. Last time she made it was probably like 10 years ago, and we're making it again this year. And I'm very, very, very excited because I don't remember it all at all, but I have the most visceral memory of how it tastes. And to me, it's like the most beautiful Christmas meal, but I haven't had it in like 15 years, so I'm excited.
Do you have a traditional family Christmas meal?
No, not really.
You don't have something that you always make?
No. I don't know, the like weird green bean mushroom thing, maybe. I don't know.
Green onion.
We do champagne. I don't know. It's always different.
Yeah, Jen, do you have like an iconic?
We have a new thing where we make pierogies from scratch the day before.
It's and a good tradition.
We stuff half of them with mashed potatoes and cheese, and then the other half with prunes and caramelized onions.
Mm.
And then you fry them up. Make them really crispy, fry them in a lot of butter, salt, and pepper. And it's like a very long, laborious process, but you feel like you're being very Polish, which feels important at the holiday.
The one thing that we do is, on my mom's side, we make my grandmother's cookies, her rolled sugar cookies, which are probably one of my most favorite things on the planet. They're just very lovely, and you know, we have all the different cookie cutters, and we decorate them in different ways, and cover them in sugared, colorful crystals, and so they're really lovely, and it's a fun way to be creative and involve in family.
I feel like she a great also, stocking stuffer are the Martha Stewart line of the very, very beautiful crystal sprinkles.
Have you seen the fluorescent ones? There is fluorescent green and fluorescent pink.
Like neon?
Yeah, like neon, man. They're really cool. There's all kinds.
I know what I'm getting Emily this year.
But my mom has this huge vat of these things, and so she has the whole collection. She has like the silver little balls and the green balls and the gold glitter, and like, whew. We are serious about our cookies. The other recipe that I've started making, we've done it 2 years in a row now, are the Momofuku corn cookies.
Ugh.
And those are no joke. They are so good.
But they have this weird corn. There's a corn ingredient that I couldn't find.
It's the dehydrated corn that you get.
Yeah.
You can get it at Whole Foods in the bag. You know, those green bags that are like dehydrated strawberries. They're there. You just do that and then you just mash it up. And it's like 2 sticks of butter per batch of cookies. I mean, it.
Yeah.
She forces butter into those cookies.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the 10-minute creaming process. And oh, yeah. You used to work there, right?
Yeah. We used to make corn cookies every day.
Aren't they amazing?
They are. That's actually, I ate those for breakfast for about a year and was like, yeah, this is a muffin. It's fine.
It's just flat.
And I would just be totally like cracked out for 12 hours. Like, hi, guys. What can I help you with? And then just crash, you know, at the end of the day.
The one thing I haven't done with them yet is the sandwich. Because in the... She has the recipe for the ham and cheese, grilled cheese sandwich with the corn cookie as the bread.
What?
Which sounds like the most insanely awesome thing ever. Yeah, but I haven't done it yet.
Because so
the
cookies like don't last that long.
The cookies just
sort
like,
of situation whoa.
I can't do it.
Mind blown.
That is like a last meal sort of thing for me. It looks great, but I think I would die of ecstasy if I ate that.
If there's one way to go, it's by corn cookie ecstasy.
Yes, easily.
Wait, do you grill it? Like grilled cheese?
Yeah, it's like a grilled cheese sandwich.
OMG. You don't have to add any extra butter.
No, because there's so much butter. Yeah.
Holy man.
And before you bake the cookies, you have to chill them because there's so much butter on them that they'll just like turn into soup if you don't.
So riddle me this. Do people still roast turkeys for Christmas? Is that a thing? Because, you know, psychologically speaking, I feel like during Thanksgiving, all of the turkeys are slaughtered once a year at that time. But then I feel like growing up, I had friends who, you know, for the holidays would roast a turkey. And I was sort of like, huh.
I've definitely had turkey for Christmas, but I don't think it was the right way to go if we're getting, you know, Emily Post on this.
I mean, in my like, extended family, when we go to New Jersey, where we have a gigantic, very loud, very crazy family, they do both a turkey and a ham. And sometimes they will also do a roast beef.
Yeah, roast beef's supposed to be
Christmas.
They
will do all three of them.
Nice.
We wonder how I turned out the way I did. but at my house, we always do a ham. But you're saying ham should be for Easter?
That's what I've heard, but
what
I don't
do you,
know.
What do you do, like, pork loin? Or
we're kind of all over. We'll go from roast beef to elk to...
Elk?
Venison. Wow. Yeah, I mean, we're all over the place. And we're tamales with pomegranate sauce. I mean, we're all over the place.
Oh, wow.
So my family is far from tradition, though.
So let's talk about throwing a holiday party or just like having to be the host in general. Cause I feel like the holidays, like I'm very accident prone. I've found ways to light my hair on fire.
No.
During the holidays. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
I knocked over a Christmas tree one year when I was trying to install the lights. Like it's not good. I'm usually, my mom keeps me away from the tree. But, you know, all this to say, give me some tips on if you have to throw, we'll start with a holiday party. Now, you have on Gastronomista a last-minute holiday party, which, if you do that, Godspeed to you.
I know, right?
Yeah.
which is something that, like, we would have done, is be, yeah, like, decide on a Thursday, we're going to have a party on Saturday. And, like,
I think the key to every good party is to have somebody who's your wingman, mm-hmm, in the house. Whose responsibility
kitchen.
It is to, like, make sure everybody's glasses are full and everyone's happy. So that, because the last thing that you want is to feel like you have to be everywhere at all moments to all people and all things. And, like, I like having Emily at all of my parties because then she'll walk around and make sure everybody's got some champagne in their glass.
I also do a mean dish.
Oh,
I do,
yeah,
the dishes. That's,
yeah,
what I do.
Yeah, I don't do dishes in my own party. But I feel like a co-host wingman is very helpful. And then also our very, very good friend, Leslie M.M. Bloom.
Who was supposed to be here tonight, but she's in Russia.
We miss you.
I think she's there checking out the Moscow cocktail scene. Is that right? I've heard that it's slamming right now. I don't know if that's what she's there for, but I think so.
I can't remember. The
we'll say that she's checking out the Moscow.
I'm sure she's doing
scene.
Something awesome.
Yeah. But she just wrote this amazing book called Let's Bring Back the Cocktail Edition. And she was on your show a couple,
yes,
weeks ago, right?
Yes.
And it was just written up in the Times today in the Thursday sales section as one of the must reads for holiday, which is totally awesome.
It's a really fun book.
It's totally fun. And it's all about bringing back old cocktails, vintage cocktails, etc.
The monkey gland, the corpse reviver.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff.
All kinds of good stuff.
The book is actually dedicated to none other than Emily Arden Wells and Jennifer Lynn Pelka.
Hey!
Holla!
It's also really, really beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful books that I've seen in
a
long time.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
There's actually a funny story with that because I have this friend from... I went to kindergarten with her. And again, college, she went to Penn as well. And she Facebooked me and she just said, I saw your name in Leslie Bloom's book. I'm working on it. She worked for Chronicle and she's basically working on the design of it. So it is a beautiful book. Emily Dubin. Shout out.
Wow. Shout out, Emily Dubin.
Went to kindergarten together.
Kindergarten. But Leslie, her one single tip, which I think is so amazing and I will always keep with me, is always be ready, 100% ready, like shower, lipstick on, shoes right by the front door, hair done, etc., 1 hour before the party is supposed to start. Because you know there's always somebody who shows up early, etc. And the last thing that you want to do is, like, have, you know, like, towel around your head and you're, like, scampering around. Like, you can always do extra food prep at the end. That's fine. But as long as you look the part, no problemo.
Right. Exactly. I also will up the ante on this and say that you should always wear flats.
Yeah.
Because if I'm wearing heels, Lord knows, by like 8 o'clock at night, I'm finding my shearling slippers and scuttling around the house. So, like, just start out early in flats and call it a day and you know, just be comfortable. You know, you want to be comfortable in your own home and you want to have a good time.
Do you guys find it stressful to be the host? I mean, because I personally... I do get stressed out having to refill glasses and do the dishes. I feel like I can never enjoy the party, I guess is the best way to put it.
I think it's a balance.
Yeah.
But there's tricks, too. One, punch bowl.
Yeah, punch bowl.
Punch bowl.
And you can also fill that punch bowl with pretty cheap stuff.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, it depends on if you're Emily or me.
From the $1 bin.
We actually got the punch bowl at the $1 bin. No, I actually have a very beautiful punch bowl that I inherited from my grandmother. That's
so beautiful.
It looks like the Stanley Cup. It's kind of amazing. and it came with a set of these gorgeous silver cups as well, the goblets, which are amazing, which we recently broke out for an event, pre-Sandy hurricane storm party. But yeah, the punch is great because it basically has like a huge mass of ice in it, so it keeps itself cold, and people can, you know, fill their own glasses, and then you don't have to worry about that. You just don't even have to think about it. And if you don't have a punch bowl, you can find a really cool vintage one online, or there's pretty cheap ones at like Crate and Barrel for $40, or just use a pitcher, you know? That's kind of a great way to keep the booze flowing.
I also think sort of similar idea I always do for my main course. If I'm doing like a seated dinner, I always do one big piece of meat that's the centerpiece and then like lots of salads and sides and everything so that you're just like not really fussing during the meal. It's just like this thing is roasting. It makes your house smell so great. And then just like once it's ready, you pop it out and put it on the table and everybody goes wild. Our most favorite one I think that I've ever made. So I used to go visit Emily at architecture school all the time and all of her very hungry architecture friends would come and we would do these like crazy theme parties. And we did one that was Some Like It Hot that was great. And we did, so everything was spicy. It was for Valentine's Day. And we did like spicy Slim Jims and spicy chicken wings.
We had a jalapeno guava punch, margarita punch thing happening.
And we did this awesome cake that was Love is a Battlefield. And it was this big chocolate sheet cake with like chocolate buttercream with chilies in it. And then we got these little like army men and put them on top and they were fighting. And that was really hilarious. That was awesome.
And we had bowls of Tums all over as well. It was like little candy bowls. We like, sorry about the indigestion.
Yeah.
But it was awesome.
Probably the best one though was...
No, but you're forgetting the main dish. She made this amazing Cherry Coke ham. The Nigella Lawson ham that was just unbelievable, and all these like emaciated architects were like, "Oh my god!"
It's the best party trick, and it's great for holidays. You take a ham and you boil it in Cherry Coke. That's the recipe.
It's
and
pretty
it's
awesome.
So good.
Well, you boil it like, and then you put it in the oven for
no.
It didn't go in the oven.
Nope. You take it out.
And it doesn't disintegrate.
Nope.
Because I know that they use Coke to clean up highway accidents. So I am surprised. But it does sound delicious.
Well, that's what the Tums are for.
Yeah.
It's for whatever it's doing to your insides.
I want to get back to the punch bowl. Because what do you stick in the punch bowl?
Okay, so this last punch that we made was a Rocky Mountain punch that I got from David Wondrich's book, Imbibe. And it was basically... It called for dark rum, slices of lemon, and it called for grenadine, but I find the grenadine normally tastes like plastic, especially if you get like a really bad one. If you get a really nice one that's like actually made from pomegranates, it's quite good, but the one I had was quite crappy, so I use this Polish cherry wine in it, and then you basically top it off with a couple of bottles of champagne. And you put in a big brick of ice. And you can either make the brick of ice in a bowl, or I like the Ziploc bag technique.
Emily makes very good ice.
You just like, fill a plastic bag full of water and stick it in the freezer and then just like shimmy it in the bowl when you're ready to go.
It's very impressive.
It was also my hurricane prep.
That is very smart.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of that. I always thought, you know, as a kid, Martha Stewart had the classic, like the, you would cut the top of a orange juice container and then stick some herbs or in there or whatever.
Oh, yes. you could
feel like.
Could do so to decorate your ice with cloves and cinnamon sticks and whatnot, but I was in a hurry.
Pear slices.
Yeah. You could jazz it up a little.
Bougie ice. Speaking of bougie ice, I found an amazing gift item for somebody who is a Star Wars fan. I found this, you know, the sphere ice molds?
Yeah.
I found one that was like shaped like a Death Star.
Nah.
Yeah, for like the you know, the ice whiskey perfect globe that was shaped like a Death
Star. Where can you buy that thing?
On the interwebs.
Tomorrow you will see it on the reblog, giftguide.tumblr.com. Be sure to visit.
It was awesome, though. You get, like, the whiskey fan and the, you know.
The Trekkies.
The Trekkies.
For the alcoholic Trekkie or not alcoholic.
Hola.
Cocktail savvy.
Maybe they just like iced tea.
Yeah, or iced tea.
Yeah.
Soda drinkers.
Yeah.
Water drinkers.
Yeah, water drinkers.
Milk drinkers.
All around. We're going to take a very quick break, but when we get back, we have lots more on this Holidays on Ice special. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Melted Magic by Obesity on the heritageradionetwork.org. We'll be right back.
Man, Joe, your computer is so slow, I can't even use this thing.
Yeah, I should probably get a new one. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, totally, man. You should go to TechServe.
Okay, what's so good about TechServe?
Well, they've got this awesome new insider program that's free when you get a new Mac with AppleCare. So you should buy your computer there because you get 50% off data transfer, free loaner computers, front-of-the-line repair privileges, an annual Mac tune-up service, backup consultation and setup, seminars, and much more.
Okay, yeah, where's TechServe?
It's at 119 West 23rd Street in New York City. They're New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, and you should totally check out TechServe.com for more information.
All right, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Emily Arden-Wells and Jen Pelka, the gals who created Gastronomista, and Jen is also over at Tumblr Food and Drink. And we're on today's special. We're discussing holidays on ice. What does that mean? Well, it's all kinds of survival tips, dodging the bad holiday parties, how to throw the best last-minute holiday party, what to wear, what not to drink, hangover cures, we'll get into. Whole gambit of topics. So, you know, I want to discuss decking the halls, no matter what the holiday is. What are some of your holiday tips on cheap to, you know, indulgent things that you love to dress the house up with?
White Christmas lights.
I have red hot chili lights.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. They're shaped like chili peppers.
Oh, clearly. I know that. How have I not clearly seen them yet? I guess I haven't been invited over yet this holiday season.
I know. Ooh. You gotta come over. Another thing that I love are sage things. I've been seeing these amazing sage wreaths around.
Oh my god, those herb wreaths are so beautiful. And they're like $20. And they smell so good and are so beautiful. I really like also, like in the bathroom or like on the dinner table or whatever, putting bunches of herbs into what are those silver, the cups from the Derby cups? What are they called? Mint julep cups. Mm-hmm. So like getting a couple of really beautiful silver mint julep cups and then putting herbs in them on the table, and then the apartment or your giant mansion, whatever the case may be, smell amazing. Speaking of smelling amazing, one trick that somebody once told me is that always, like, right before your first guests are expected to arrive, always have something roasting in the oven that is fresh thyme and garlic.
What's this actually from Clueless? Doesn't she say always have cookies roasting in the oven, cooking in the oven when you have a boy coming over?
That's true. Oh, that's true.
Advice via Clueless.
Yeah. Even if it's Pillsbury, no one needs to know.
That's it. Okay, so smart.
So those are some good. Okay, the question I want to know is, how do I avoid a bad holiday party? Or if you're stuck at a bad holiday party, what do you do? How can you jazz it up?
I think having a sense of humor is the biggest and best thing. And of course, having a good wingman or wingwoman is helpful. And I think you just kind of have to be strategic and, like, you know, nail your points. Who do you have to talk to? What looks delicious to eat?
Yeah,
what looks
important.
Delicious to drink? Drink a couple of them. And, you know, just try to talk and meet new people and have a good attitude. And, you know, you never know who you're going to meet at these things. And you can meet amazing, wonderful people who will be in your life forever. Or you don't. And then you go home and go to bed. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah,
Jennifer.
Yeah, no, I think that's about it. I mean, I think it's all about finding out who is the person at the party who you can just glom onto and...
Not glom onto, but...
Well...
Chat up.
Yeah. I always love finding, like, whoever the oldest person is at the party. Like, if it happens that there's some, like, 40-year-old or something. Oh, whatever. Sorry, 40-year-olds. 60-year-olds, 80-year-olds, whatever. Like, older people are so interesting, and no one ever talks to them. And they always have, like, the coolest stories to
tell
you.
Yeah, I was at a party the other night, and there was this older woman who was this amazing Southern belle, and she was really fun to talk to because she had all these crazy stories and this amazing accent. She clearly was like from another era. She was such a character. It was really fun.
How do you, you know, what are some sort of like party tricks if there's a mishap or you accidentally burn the turkey.
Or if you light your hair on fire.
You light your hair on fire, or the mariachi doesn't show up.
I always, every party I host, every single time, I like, when I plan the menu, I plan at least two or three extra appetizers and two or three extra sides, because I know that I'm going to throw two or three of them away. And I just like build it in. And the bottom, like, you cannot serve something that's gross. So just throw it away. It's not a big deal.
It's not an
option. No one knows. Like, no one knows what you're planning on serving. And also, like, probably whatever you're cooking is not as gross as you think it is.
True.
So, like, Julia Child would just say, serve it, whatever. Mm-hmm. I tend to say, just throw it away.
I mean, we've done that. I remember at the Some Like It Hot party we had, there was a mishap. There was something that did not turn out very well, and we just got rid of it.
I always throw something
away. Exunt. Get it out of here.
Yeah. And you can't feel bad about it. It's just like, knows. Don't stress about it. Just dump it in the trash.
But the other thing, too, is like, if you're having a cocktail party, you do not need to serve these people dinner. You know, like, order something up. You know, it can be anything from, like, you know, crab rangoon to, you know, wontons to whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
people will eat anything. Oh, my God. I love a good high-low situation.
Oh, yeah. Where it's caviar. Like, your caviar is amazing.
Oh, this is, like, the most foolproof, spectacular thing ever is caviar and potato chips.
So easy.
Oh, man. That's so smart.
Yeah.
Very high-low. I love that. Wow. So and do you have a particular potato chip that you prefer?
Yeah. I like the salt and pepper from Terrell's or Terrell's.
Oh, that's good.
How are they pronounced?
Is that like a thick chip?
It's like a thick, very like peanut oily one. I think it's peanut oil. And it's just got salt and pepper. But I also sometimes like them with like spices.
But then what's the you make like a yogurt sauce?
No,
or
I just do creme fraiche, caviar. You don't even have to get like great caviar.
Which is great until someone with a peanut allergy shows up, right?
Yeah, well.
They're not invited. Question. What about catering? Are you guys open to that? Do you sort of think about that?
I think it's totally great. And I think this is where I was going to go, this high-low thing, that you should totally do like Chinese takeout and dumplings and
empanadas. Everybody loves meat pies. Like, I have never seen people go more crazy than for meat pies ever in my life.
Didn't you guys have some meat pies at the office the other day that were like...
Yeah, Nucho's Empanadas sent us over a couple boxes of empanadas, and it was like a stampede. Like, I was like fearing for my life. I was like, quick, duck and cover. I mean, everybody wanted a meat pie.
Yeah, bad.
They were great though. They were super delicious. Those ones I think would be great. I'll definitely order those up for my next party.
Fried pies. Who says no to that?
Right.
And I mean,
yeah, no way.
Speaking of fried, tater tots are real good.
Okay, you love tater tots.
I love tater tots,
and like no one thinks to eat them anymore. Maybe tater tots are good with caviar.
I think you should do caviar and tater.
Ooh, that's such a good party idea. Yeah.
But really, tater tots and anything
because they're like hot. They smell good.
I don't think I've ever made for you my clam dip, my grandmother's clam dip recipe.
No,
which is basically just cream cheese and I think some onions and some clams that usually serve up with potato chips, and it's amazing. It's like our Wells family thing. But you can really, it's like the corn cookie. You can only really have it once a year because otherwise
it's a blowout.
You'll like pay for it.
Well,
not slimming.
Well, moving on to dessert, I mean, do you guys do small pass desserts, or would you recommend, like, if you're doing a full course meal, what do you do? Is it super involved, or is it more easy?
I feel like desserts are a great thing. You know, when you always get, when you send out an invitation, you get, like, 15 people who are like, what can I bring? What can I bring? Like, I want to bring something other than wine. If you're not a big baker, I feel like that's a great thing to say, oh, feel free to bring by a dessert. The other thing is that also, by the time you get dessert, most people are pretty toasted, so it kind of doesn't really matter what it is.
Or you can just do a boozy dessert.
Yeah, like what?
One thing my dad makes that's amazing is he'll just do lemon sorbet and top it off with champagne. That is pretty slamming. Yeah, or you can just do vanilla yogurt with Cointreau on top. Or I just put up a recipe for these like mini... boozy ice cream floats with just like a little bit of ice cream and that crazy Patron coffee liqueur, which is amazingly delicious. There's also like a coffee chocolate one that's pretty slamming as well. And then you just top it off with a tiny bit of soda water to get it to bubble. But you can do it in a shot glass, and you know, and then it's like a tiny little amount that's perfect and still boozy.
Yeah. Wow.
Also, I went to like this one lovely party that their dessert situation was almost like a cheese plate. They did cheese in the beginning, but they just brought out this enormous block of dark chocolate, some very, very beautiful figs, and then biscotti.
Ooh, that's amazing. And you could just serve it up with some whiskey.
Yeah.
For a nightcap, and that'd be amazing.
And people can take it if they want. They don't have to take it. But I love like how carnal like breaking into one big block of chocolate is beautiful. In the middle of the table. And it's so easy breezy. And because a lot of times I think like if you've done a big dinner party, people don't want like a huge dessert.
Right? And dark chocolate's perfect because then you just get like that little bit that can melt in your mouth. So nice.
Once the hangover sets in the next day, what is your trick?
I don't know. I'm kind of hardcore about it. I go straight to the gym. I'm really hardcore.
Emily just is like all gym and green juice.
No green juice. It's like to the gym, sweat it out, and then go get an egg and cheese, drink a ton of water. I just try to get it over with. You know, I'm like get out of here.
Wow, that is impressive. Jen, what's your trick? Do you have?
Not that. Although I do like a good spin class on Sundays, but, you know, only once a week. Of course, I like a little hair of the dog. I like a good
Bloody
Mary because it's vegetables. And I love it when it has an oyster in it. good electrolytes.
But how about with a meat straw?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, like a prune?
I don't know if they have those at Prune, but I had them in New Orleans when I went down for Tales, and I had this amazing Bloody Mary one morning that had this meat straw in it.
It was like basically a Slim Jim with a hole in them. It was like a Twizzler. It was like a meat Twizzler.
Yeah, what is wrong with that concept?
Why do they not have them at the movie theater?
No, they should be sold everywhere. They're pretty amazing. Oh, man. Anyway, back to Hair of the Dog.
So I like that. I love
mimosa.
I like a mimosa, but mimosas are, I think, kind of lame. I love a good, like, sit on the couch situation.
Yeah, a good movie, hang out.
Sunday morning documentary.
Like, low-level impact sort of energy situation.
Yeah. But also, like, chilaquiles are good.
Yeah, okay.
Chilaquiles and a Bloody Mary.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Burger. Bacon burger.
Yeah. Tommy.
Yeah.
Pho, I like pho is really good too. That's a really
soup,
good
a little soup to warm your soul.
Mm-hmm. You guys are very, very kind of energized compared to me as having too many cocktails. I feel like the day after I just drink coconut water and go back to bed and then I'm like,
A little lovely. Law and Order.
Yeah.
And then
although I can't watch Law and Order in New York because I am always convinced that there's like a man on my fire escape out.
My boyfriend actually banned it from the apartment because I was like so in love with it. And he was like, no more Law and Order. We are done here.
Our friend Raimi, our very, very good friend, who also the editors on Gastronomista, said, Jen, Emily, it's really important that you know that Law and Order is not the news.
It's true. It's very confusing sometimes.
Right.
Well, because they're based on the news. They're almost reality.
Very, very true. Tell me one of your favorite holiday stories of growing up, like a favorite memory, and why you love the holidays. Like, you know, ice skating.
I think Em's got a good ice skating story.
Amazing holidays on ice. Okay, I do have an amazing story. So I used to ice skate. Because clearly that's what little girls in Colorado do. And so you have a solo routine when you are competing in ice skating, and you take this routine and you go and compete with other young girls and try to win medals and do, you know, axels and whatnot. So in my youth, I decided that the perfect music, because I wasn't really into classical music, I was like, I'm doing James Bond. Clearly I'm doing James Bond. And it was right when James Bond was like coming back, you know, in the 90s, and it was all hip.
Wait,
again.
What do you mean you're doing James Bond?
The music was going to be James Bond. So my skating routine will be to the theme.
And like everyone else was doing classical stuff?
Yeah, they were very unhip. Clearly.
And you were very...
I was very suave, and I decided I was going to do the James Bond.
What were you wearing?
My mom made this amazing ice skate outfit that was like a little tuxedo for me.
And oh my god,
it's so incredible! And this, it was like black and all bow tie and all this beading on it. It was beautiful. It had this like multiple layered skirt, so when I spun, it would show off all the different colors. It was really
oh my
cool.
god! You should have had those tights with the
guns
yes! on the side.
Oh, way amazing. To bring it back! It would have been amazing. It would have been perfect. Yeah, but needless to say, I broke my arm like the next year or something, and that was the end of my ice skating career.
So it reminds you of the holidays?
Not really, but it reminds me of ice.
Yeah, no, I just, that's a really good story, though, because I feel like ice skating, well, first of all, it's very impressive, no, because really. Ice skating I can't do to save my life. The one and only time I went ice skating, I managed to slice the middle of my nose with my ice skate on the ice. Hey. I don't know how I did that.
You were talented.
Talented at being very clumsy.
Yeah.
Jen, tell me a favorite holiday story.
I don't really have like a specific one moment, but I do have a holiday tradition that is very near and dear to my heart that begins on Thanksgiving Day. And that is that we always watch Home Alone, the best movie of all time. It is my favorite movie. And now that I work at Tumblr, I know I work at the right place because our holiday party involves watching Home Alone and ordering cheese pizza and Pepsi from the scene of Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi. So I have watched Home Alone in my adult life. If I started at 18, I would say at least 4 times a year, probably, in full. I've already watched it 3 times this holiday season.
Seriously?
Wow.
Seriously? That's
I'll probably impressive. Watch it 2 or 3 more times. Yeah.
More than I think their Christmas Story is such a classic.
No. Home Alone. Have you seen Home Alone lately?
I mean, I saw it a couple years ago.
Oh my god. It's
I do appreciate the James Bond week on what channel is it on? I can't even
yeah,
remember.
Yeah, on like
the men's channel Spike or whatever.
yeah, no. So we always like trim the tree and cook Thanksgiving dinner to Home Alone. And then all of my cooking during the season I do to Home Alone again. And then we watch it generally on Christmas Eve and sometimes also on Christmas Day. So at least, like I'd say on an average, like 6 times a season.
Was it John Candy that rides yeah. in the truck with his
yeah,
mom?
Yeah, he's in the polka band.
Yeah.
Polka, 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 dime a bushy polka, which is kiss me polka. I'm Polish. Yeah.
Are you?
I'm Polish, yeah. It's the best movie.
Well, that moment is really, to me, why Christmas is... It brings the Christmas spirit together.
It does.
Your mom in a truck driving across the country to find you.
Right.
It's great. You know, nightcap before Santa Claus comes down the chimney. I love a milk punch.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in New Orleans for a long time. For those listeners who have not tried milk punch, it's usually bourbon or brandy with a bit of milk and vanilla, cinnamon, whatever. But I really like, there's a New Orleans bartender named Chris Hanna, and he makes a Mexican milk punch, which is horchata, tequila, maybe a little nutmeg and a little
vanilla. I can get on board with that.
It's so good. But
I'm terrified of eggnog, but that sounds amazing.
Eggnog is too labor intensive for me, but... Before you're going to bed, what is sort of the great cocktail of choice that you would make for yourself? Or for Santa Claus, or for Grandpa?
I think there's a couple. I mean, there's like a couple really decadent ones. White Russians are delicious.
And good with cookies.
And very good with cookies. Even just like Bailey's on the rocks is really good.
You're a Bailey's fan?
Yeah, strangely, I love it. It's like ice cream. It's like liquid ice cream. It's pretty good. I don't know.
I haven't had Bailey's in a long time.
It's an adult
I guess I should
milkshake.
give it a whirl.
It's pretty good. I actually would make a really good mean milkshake. Talk about your hair and the dog. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my god, have you been to Stewart's?
No.
Stewart's is amazing.
Vermont.
Well, it's also upstate New York.
It's so awesome. Emily and I went to Vermont to a friend's house and we did a big feast and it was really fun. We went hiking and went to this waterfall and it was awesome. But really the highlight of the trip was going to this gas station called Stewart's where they make milkshakes.
They're really great milkshakes and you can pick your own flavor and they have like 200 different types
of
ice cream.
Are they alcoholic milkshakes?
No, sadly.
Okay.
But we should get on that train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Bailey's.
Yeah. I love a good... buttered rum punch, It's always good. Love hot toddies. I have a very good friend, Felicia, who threw a party once, and she made a vat of hot toddies in a crock pot. And it was genius. It kept it hot. So smart. She just, like, whipped it all up, like, squeezed a lemon in, and you were ready to go. It was great. Love hot toddies.
I love a hot toddy.
But then also just, like, whiskey on the rocks is great for a nightcap as well. Good bourbon.
Jen, any?
I like a good old-fashioned.
With some muddling.
With some muddling. I like the brown spirits in the winter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good old-fashioned, good Manhattan. I'm pretty traditionalist when it comes to those sorts of things. But I think, really, the key is the pairing with the cookie for Santa. And I have to say, a White Russian really feels like it hits the spot.
White Russians are really slamming.
Should you leave Santa a cocktail?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. I think I need to start doing that. There is... That might help me in...
in the stocking stuffing.
Yeah, stocking stuffing and gift in acquisition. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Or he'll forget everything because he's going to black out and it's going to be bad. But
maybe that'll be good too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Leave that coal at home.
So Gastronomista has a gift giveaway.
Yes, we do.
What is it?
There is this really crazy wine that's called Spotty. And it's created by Steve Grasse, who also did Hendrix and all the Art in the Age line. And they're doing...
Tell them what Art in the Age is.
Oh, Art in the Age is this amazing group in Philadelphia. And they basically have this space where they have concerts and art shows. And they have a whole slew of products. And they also make ruby, snap, root, and sage. Spirits, and this age is like one of my favorite things that I've discovered in the last year. It's incredibly good. It tastes like you're on a road trip, but road trip in the West, but like boozier.
Don't drink and drive.
But they're giving away like a whole goodie bag of all of their, their swag, which is pretty cool. And then tomorrow we have another one with the Art in the Age stuff as well, which is pretty awesome. I love the Art in the Age graphics, so that one's also going to be super cool. They're both great.
And people, how do they enter?
Just leave a comment or tweet at me. It's pretty simple. Just go on gastronomista.com, leave a comment, and that's about it.
And as far as the reblog gift guide on Tumblr, how long can people reblog their gift guide?
So it was supposed to just be 12/12/12 yesterday, but it's been really popular. So we're going to be reblogging all week and people can continue to do it. So all you do is whenever you're doing a post throughout the holiday season and you want it to be picked up on that feed, you just hashtag it Tumblr gift guide in your Tumblr stream, and then the best ones were reblogging. And so they go out, obviously, to a really big audience because there are a lot of followers of the Reblog Gift Guide.
And again, you can find all of that on rebloggiftguide.tumblr.com. And, last but not least, New Year's. What is the ultimate New Year's celebration?
Oh, my God. Okay, you have to start with caviar and potato chips.
Duh. And champagne.
And champagne.
Or tater tots.
I like to do... the way that I typically do my New Year's party is I like to do a big... I like to host a dinner party on New Year's because I don't like to go anywhere on New Year's. So selfishly, it's probably cheaper for me to throw an enormous New Year's Eve dinner party for a ton of people than it is for me to go anywhere. So I like to host it at my place. So I do, I like to do something at 8, something at 10, and something at 12. So at 8 is sort of when it starts, and it's champagne and little appetizers and cheese course and just things that are a little nibbly and delicious. And then at 10, we sit down for a big dinner that's a big piece of meat and lots of different sides. And then again, at midnight, we, of course, watch the ball drop, because if you don't, you're not American. And we saber some more champagne. Sabering champagne is, number one, the easiest thing in the world to do. You just have to go on the internet and learn how to do it. And you should do it at every party and at every moment in your life that you possibly can have the opportunity to do so. And it really impresses people, but it's really easy. You can't really screw it up.
Just drinking champagne.
No, savoring.
Saber.
Like, oh, the bottom. I said the sword. Savoring. I was like,
oh, you should
that's
savor
pretty.
Champagne all the time too.
But you should savor the cap on.
Yeah, just like open your window, make sure no small children are in the vicinity, and just you take the bottle, you take off the foil, and then you point the bottle sort of up in the direction, and then you just make sure that you find the seam, and then you take a knife, like a big knife. But you could do it with other things. I've seen somebody do it with an iPad, believe it or not.
Oh,
crazy.
That's impressive.
And then you just like, you just whack off the top, and then it just goes spewing. It's fun stuff.
Wow, that's impressive.
You've never done this?
I would kill an alley cat, I'm telling you.
Yeah, knowing your background with the burning of the hair and the...
Not going to do
those
it.
Poor alley cats.
I hope it's just an alley cat.
Well, Emily, what would you do for New Year's?
I love a New Year's Day party, more of as a rolling brunch full of easily prepared things, frittatas and quiches and champagne and the like, and lots of Bloody Marys with meat straws.
Quiche is awesome, and quiche I don't feel like awesome. Anyone...
Frittata's also awesome.
Yeah. Eggs.
So
huevos,
easy.
Huevos, huevos, huevos.
And they're so easy, and you can make them pretty much in bulk ahead of time, and then just throw them in the oven when you're ready to go. Which is genius.
What do you do?
My family, we have Texas caviar. It's sort of good luck, which is just black-eyed peas.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't have a prosperous new year unless you have black-eyed peas.
How do
is
you
there
make
barbecue
it?
Involved in this?
Sometimes,
event?
Yeah. Barbecue or, you know, definitely collard greens, grits, sometimes a ham. Definitely not a cherry Coke ham, but...
When I was down in Houston, man, those breakfasts are no... joke. I mean, I thought I was ordering something small, and the thing was like the size of my torso. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, just so much meat and eggs, and like, I mean, it was a lot of food. It was so good. They're not messing around.
Everything's bigger in Texas, honey.
I love Texas. I love Texas.
Texas forever, as they would say on Friday Night Lights.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose. What is on the horizon for you two amazing dynamic ladies?
I'm looking forward to a really exciting 2013 with a lot of outreach to the food community all throughout the world. I'm most excited. I'm going to Madrid for Madrid Fusion in January, which is going to be pretty rad. So I'm really excited about that. We're thinking maybe we might do something for the inauguration in D.C., as an event, so that'll be pretty awesome. We would love to work closely with food policymakers to sort of help spread the word. Barack Obama's Tumblr is amazing, and it really helped him to win the election. And so I think there's a lot that we can do in terms of helping push food policy forward on Tumblr with that community, knowing that everyone was super engaged with his own Tumblr. But I'd also my big goal for the year is... to get, so Beyonce has an awesome Tumblr, and she and Jay, I know, are really into wine, and I really want, Jay-Z, if you're listening,
hey.
Call me, 867-5309. I think we need to do a behind the scenes in Jay-Z's wine cellar.
He released
Tumblr.
A champagne.
He's deep into it.
He's also super into truffles.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that video of... Oh, no, that was P. Diddy. Of Danielle Boulou shaving the truffles with P. Diddy. Oh, my God, so funny. But I would love to do a Tumblr behind the scenes in Jay-Z's wine cellar. Just every day, it's like wine of the day and some, like, awesome quote.
They have to go to Lucali, too. Don't they go to Lucali
a
lot?
Yeah, all the time. So, like I said, Jay and Bay, call me.
Call all of us. We love you and, yeah. I'll sell you truffles. Emily, what's on the horizon for you in 2013?
Well, there's a lot of exciting things happening right now, especially at Abraco. We've got a lot of really amazing projects in the works. I can't really talk about the specifics, but there's a lot of really cool things that we're developing and working on amazing collaborations with these very talented teams, so it's a lot of fun, and gastronomy still keep on chugging and hopefully highlighting and spotlighting these amazing creatives who are doing exciting, beautiful projects. And you know, that's really what I love to discover, people who are making amazing things, or you know, if they're making wine or beer or, you know, amazing videos, stop animation films of different food processes or abstract film or whatever it is. So just hope to continue doing that, and then we'll see.
Well, thank you for coming on for the first ever hour-long You Look Hungry, and thanks so much for this special Holidays on Ice episode.
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays, everybody!
Oh my gosh, we are so excited to eat some dinner now at Roberta's.
We're going to have a great time, and as always, thanks so much to Joe Galarraga, Jack Inslee, and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio Network and Roberta's. I'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.